Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would touch our hearts, and you know exactly where we are on our journey of faith. We thank you that you would speak something to us today that helps us to be more successful, helps us to accomplish the dream that you've placed inside of us, the greatness that you've placed inside of us. Let us hear something that inspires, that provokes, that corrects, that adjusts, that switches our focus and helps us see what we need to see to be what we need to be in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Today, I was thinking about this concept of being full of something, right? So when you fall in love with that person, that special somebody, you are full of love, right? Or when this incredible door opens and it's a door that's a career opportunity or an opportunity of purpose, and you walk into that door, you're full of excitement, right? Full of, you know, joy, you know, that it's going to be amazing. Or you're talking to somebody and they're talking way too much. You say, that person must be full of it, right? We're talking about being full of something, but what would it mean to be full of God? And so as we're concluding the series, My Focus, I wanted to speak one last thing into this series of My Focus, and that is the power of a worship-filled life. So the concept of my life being full of worship, right? Full of God. What does that mean? What would that look like? What would the repercussions of having a life full of worship or full of God? Because I really believe when my focus becomes God, my life becomes full of worship. The natural byproduct of this focus thing, when I focus on God, my life becomes full of worship. It becomes full of Him. So I want to take you back for a second to a wonderful time for most of us. For some time, some people, maybe you have some family things that you're working out, maybe. But Thanksgiving, we walk into the house. The room is full. The house is full of these wonderful, amazing smells. And it just tastes so good. I'm sorry to do this to you if you're hungry and you haven't had lunch yet. You walk into the house and it smells so good. And you sit down at the table and you eat. And you eat. And unfortunately, you continue to eat until you're absolutely full. And there's still some great things out there on the table, maybe the dessert bar that you haven't tried yet, but you can't fit anything else in because you're completely full. Anybody ever been there? All right. That's not just me. That's most of us on Thanksgiving. And we have to repent the next day. But we're full of food. Even if we wanted to get something else in there, we couldn't, because we reach a place that we're so full. I want to tell you, there's a spiritual equivalent to that when we get so full of God that there's nothing else that can fit. And I would actually propose this to you, that as Christians, that is our purpose and agenda, to get so full of God that anything that's not of God and does not belong to God and was not sent from God no longer fits in our life. So it's this concept when we're talking about getting full. I want to talk about getting so full of God, so full of His praise, so full of worship, that there's really no other place in my life that something that does not come from Him, belong from Him, fits. And this, as I was praying, I was thinking, when you are full of God, there is no craving for sin. I think a lot of times we get it wrong, right? We look at people and we put people up on a pedestal and say, oh man, this person is, oh, they're perfect. They're so holy, right? They've got everything figured out. No. Actually, what it is they are so full of God that there's no room for anything else in their life. And this is so key. I hope you get this. When you're full of God, there's no craving for sin. And if I can get to the place where I more and more sustain this place of being full, right? Because when we get full in the natural, what happens? Eventually, we get hungry again, right? But I think Jesus was trying to explain to the woman at the well was that if you fill yourself up and you stay full, you'll never be thirsty again. Some of our single brothers and sisters need to get this. You'll not be thirsty again if you get this. You get the right thing inside of you. God wants us to be full. God wants us to be full. And so it's not so much, and oftentimes we make our Christian walk about thinking that we have to be perfect. There's only one perfect person, that was Jesus. If you put on and you're following Christ and you put on the garment of Christ, you're covered in his perfection. What God is more interested in with you is that you what you're filling yourself up with. Because you and I, we have the opportunity, we can fill ourselves up with anything. We have a lot of adults in the room, right? You can leave this place. You can eat whatever you want. You can go to McDonald's. You can go to Burger King. You can go to Bahama Breeze. You can go wherever and you can eat whatever you want. But after you eat, you're going to be full of something. Either you're going to be full of something that is nutritious, that's going to nourish your body, that's going to satisfy you, or you could be full of empty calories. It's not going to satisfy. You'll be full. There won't be much space for anything good, but you had junk food. Spiritually, we can fill ourselves up with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, right? Or we can fill ourselves up with junk food, envy, jealousy, hatred, pride, lust, a lot of junk that we can fill ourselves up with. But if we fill ourselves up first with the fruit of the Spirit, of godliness, of worship, there's no craving for what the world has to offer. Many things that our culture offers, many things that we see that the oftentimes is being advertised to us, and even that we're tempted with. But the more that we fill ourselves up, and I want to submit this to you, that even if you get yourself all the way full, you have no craving for sin. So this is the press. We're pressing for the mark of this as Christians, to get full and to stay full. To get full and to stay full. Those kids are getting full of something back there. Excitement. Once you fill up with the fruits of the Spirit, you have no taste for the junk food this culture offers. Now, before you think, oh, pastor's just going to go and talk about a bunch of stories, let's go to Scripture. Romans 6:12. And it says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Oh, let me tell you something. It's difficult not to give in to sinful desires. Whether it's something small or whether it's something big, it's difficult not to do that. But we just talk about getting full of something. It is not easy. When you are full, it doesn't matter how tempting the other food is around you. That food almost turns your stomach, right? And when I get so full, I don't even want to smell food anymore, right? This is what happens when we get full of the Spirit. It makes this possible. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument. Somebody say instrument. Instrument. I like instruments. I like to talk about instruments. Johnny, do you like to talk about instruments? I know you like to talk about instruments. I like to talk about instruments. So use your body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirement of law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So, if life is meant to be worship, and we are like instruments, we were created, we were designed when we play to give God glory. Now, I want you to look at this wonderful piano here. It's probably the best by far instrument on the stage right now. I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, my other fellow musicians. So when you... It's the second service, guys. Are you gonna... this piano is not inherently good, and it's not inherently evil. This instrument is not inherently a jazz instrument or a rock instrument or a classical instrument. It is an instrument. It has the capacity for beautiful music. It has the capacity for terrible, ugly, bad, wrong notes kind of music. For godly music, for demonic music, right? It's an instrument. It's not inherently good or evil. You are an instrument. You have the capacity for good or for evil. God created you for good, but he gave you the choice. You can play your instrument for good, or you can play your instrument for evil. It's all about who's playing the instrument. Instrument could be jazz. I mean, the music can be jazz. The music can be rock. The music could be heavy metal. It depends on who is playing the instrument. So what song are you playing? How are you playing your life? How are you playing your instrument? Or how are you allowing yourself to be played? You and I are instruments. But the outcome of our life is determined on how we play. How we allow ourselves to be played. And so, this concept, if we're all instruments and we have the capacity for good or evil depending on how we live our lives, you choose your diet. You choose what you play. You choose what you eat. But at the end of the day, you're going to be full of what you decided to eat. The devil cannot make you eat anything. The devil cannot make you play anything. At the end of the day, you're choosing the life song that you're playing. At the end of the day, you're choosing the diet that you eat and ultimately what you're full of. So what does your sound sound like? What does your song sound like? What do you want your song to sound like in life? Not just on Sunday, in general. What do you want your song to sound like? Do you want to sound like faith? Do you want to sound like peace? Do you want to sound like love? Or do you want to sound like envy? Do you want to sound like greed? Do you want to sound like lust? What do you want to sound like? Because you're an instrument. How do you want to play your life? Psalm 96:1 says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves." So if you're reading the Psalms or you're reading Scripture, you're seeing that your instrument should be utilized, should function as an instrument that gives glory back to God. If I'm understanding this correctly, I'm an instrument. You're an instrument, right? And then we were created to give glory to God. We're commanded, we're challenged, we're instructed. use your instrument to give God the glory. Right? We choose what we focus on. We choose what we get full of. We choose the song that we play. Psalm 66:1 says, shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Does that sound like a, hey, here's an idea? No, it's a command. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Instruments. We're instruments. But sometimes we do more praise at the Heat game than we do before the Lord. Okay, so this is even beyond a church thing, okay? If you're at the house with your God and your praise is less than when you turn the TV on and you watch your favorite team, something's wrong with how you're playing your instrument. I'm not saying, hey, if you're solemn and you're stoic and that's how you are in your life, then you come right in here and you sit down in your seat and I'm good with that. But you might not have it figured out if you will turn up for a celebrity, but you won't turn up for Jesus. Who is it that you're playing for? What does your life song sound like? What do you want the music that fills your life to sound like? We were designed to worship. We were designed to give glory back to God, right? Well, the seraphims do in heaven, right? They stand there in God's presence and they're saying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, worthy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And so they're just going at it. They were designed to do that. We were designed to worship. We were designed to be full of worship. And we were designed to point back to God. Our very lives from the very beginning, from Genesis, we were designed to give glory back to God, to point back to a creator, a loving heavenly Father, right? And so when he designed us in Genesis, it says he designed man in his image and in his likeness. So that means that you and I were designed to bear the image of God so that when people look at us, they say, wow, that reminds me of God. So that when I live my life and I go about my normal life, people look at me and say, that guy kind of reminds me of how Jesus probably acted or lived his life, right? When people look at you, do you bear the image? Because that's how God designed us and created us, that when somebody looks like you, man, that reminds me of God. I like that there's just an inherent, it seems like there's that person is just good, the goodness, they're doing good things, right? They're helping people, whatever. The goodness of God is on that person. They bear the resemblance of their Father. They bear the image. They bear the likeness. They bear the nature of God. And so we were designed to point back to God, right? We had it. We lost it. Jesus came to restore that image of God. So now that once again people look at us, they shouldn't see a life full of sin, right? A life full of me fulfilling whatever desires I have. No, they see a life full of me, full with worship, full of a desire for God, full of a desire to help others, to love God with all my heart, to love my neighbor as myself. I'm full of that. You can see the goodness of God upon me. That is his mark on my life. My kids love to ride their bikes. I don't know if you like to ride your bike. They like to ride their bikes so much, I ended up having to get a bike so that I could ride and keep up with them, riding their bikes all the time. And they have these things on their bikes. It's a really important safety feature. It's called a reflector. All these reflectors are definitely on the back of the bike, sometimes on the tires of the bike. You know, probably when you were young, you put too many reflectors on your bike because you like to stylize it or whatever. I know I did at one point. But the reflectors are important because at night, if a light or a headlight hits that bike, light is going to bounce off of it. It's going to reflect the light. We were meant spiritually to be reflectors. We were meant to be reflectors of God. So when people see us, boom, we're already reflecting who God is. God's nature. I'm reflecting the fruits of the Spirit. I'm reflecting the gifts of the Spirit. I'm reflecting all these things that I'm getting from God's presence. I'm reflecting them. So I'm not the thing, but I can reflect the thing, right? I'm not it, right? But I can reflect who is it. Reflectors. Turn to somebody and say, you're a reflector. So we're meant to be reflectors of his goodness. We're meant to be reflectors of his presence, reflectors of his purpose, so that everything around us shines with the light of his goodness. Where are the answers for the world today? Where do you think the answers are for the incredibly complicated problems that this world, that ails this world? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I'm reflecting his glory. I'm reflecting his goodness. I'm reflecting his solution. I'm reflecting his healing power. I'm reflecting his miracle. So when people see me, they see the goodness of God. They see the hope. I'm not hope, not in my own ability, but I can reflect hope. And now somebody that was suicidal, now somebody that was without hope, that was depressed, they look at me and they see the hope that is Christ Jesus, because I'm reflecting God. I'm reflecting Christ. We were meant to be reflectors. Listen to this, Habakkuk 2:14. I love this. And this is a prophet, Old Testament prophet, and he's seeing into the future and seeing what God is going to do. He says, for as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be, not currently, it will be futuristically filled with an awareness of the glory of God. Can I ask you, how do people become aware of who God is, what his nature is, how good he is, how much he is the answer for the world? How do they become aware of that? Because we are reflecting it and they see it in us. We reflect the goodness of God, and now more and more people become aware. So what is the future of God's church? What is the purpose of God's church? To establish his goodness, to establish his way, to establish his nature, and to reflect who he is so that the earth is filled with an awareness of who God is. Doesn't mean everybody's going to love or accept or say, hey, I want to get on board with God. No. A lot of people will, but some people will not. But the awareness will be there. The thing is, you can't make a decision to say yes to something or say no to something until you are aware that it exists. And you know exactly what it is. Do you want ice cream? I don't know. What is ice cream? I've never seen ice cream before. Show me what ice cream is. Give me a taste of ice cream. Now I can decide if I want ice cream or not. So we are, as his people, as his sons and daughters, as his ambassadors, as his church, to fill the earth with an awareness of who God is. Where are your unsaved friends, people that don't know God, people that are in your life that are far from God? How will they ever see the light of salvation? See the light and the goodness of God if you don't reflect God's goodness. Now, there's some people in this church that I know, it doesn't matter what situation that they walk into, they are a reflector. They make no apologies. I am a reflector of God. Don't hide it under a bushel, right? Don't hide who you are. You were designed to be light, salt and light. You were designed to be a reflection of your heavenly Father so that when people look at you, you bear the image of an awesome God. You bear the image of a loving heavenly Father. You bear the image of a healer. I can't heal you, but I know somebody that can. Let me reflect that on you right now. We've had some amazing miracles that have happened in this last season, and I'm so happy. But it's not because of anything I did. Guess what? All I did, and all some of the people here at the church did, was reflect the healing power of God. Spend time in His presence, and now we are able to reflect His presence, reflect who He is, reflect His nature. And so Habakkuk 2:2 says, "For as the waters fill the sea, the earth will be filled with the awareness of the glory of God." So we are to reflect until there's an undeniable awareness of who God is. When will the end come? Jesus said, not wars, not rumors of wars, not disease, not pestilence, not COVID-19, not Russia invading Ukraine. These things are terrible. That's not the end, He said. The end will come when the gospel of the kingdom has been preached. Every person. How does that happen? By some reflectors getting out there, reflecting the goodness of God, reflecting the nature of God, showing people how good God is. Your job is not to convert people. Your job is to raise awareness of who God is, about who Jesus is. I think sometimes we get it twisted. We think, I am supposed to save you. Listen, I hate to break it to you. You can't save anybody. Jesus is the only one that can save somebody. He's the best at it. You're better off just reflecting what He does. I just want to be a good reflection. Right? You put enough mirrors and you hit those mirrors with the sun, the power of the sun. Let me tell you something. That thing will, you have to close your eyes. It'll get so bright. Imagine if you reflected the power of God, the power of the risen sun, the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead can be at work in your life to heal, to deliver, to set free, to bring healing, to heal cancer, to heal COVID, whatever it is that stands in your way. When we reflect. Romans 10:14. This is important. We got to know this. But how can these people that we're talking about that so much need the message and need an interaction with God and need to feel and be aware of His goodness, how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? We have to be reflectors. That's not, hey, there's a special few that are going to actually tell them. No, that's an everybody thing. Did you ever notice that evangelism is not a gift of the Spirit? It's a commission to every single believer. Yeah. Yeah, we might say this person is anointed to be in charge of evangelism. Absolutely. They are a leader. They have the gift of leadership, and they're leading men and women in evangelism. But evangelism is not a spiritual gift. It is a commission for every man, woman, boy, and girl that confesses the name of Jesus Christ. Big evangelist, small evangelist, medium evangelist, young evangelist, old evangelist, right? It's something that we all share in common. It's a part of our common faith to be reflectors. Be a reflector. Look at somebody and say, be a reflector. So how will anyone hear about Him unless someone tells them? Verse 15, and how will anyone go and tell them unless they're being sent? That's what we do on Sunday, right? We send. We say, here's something that God is saying, go and do it. That's when the rubber hits the road, Monday. Like, Sunday is the pep rally, you know? That's when we all come together, we give high fives. Monday is when you do the work. of the ministry, right? And so how will they do it unless someone is sent? That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. Let me tell you something. If you want God to bless your feet and bless your path and bless your life, become a reflector of God. Reflect his goodness. Reflect his good news. Reflect his nature. Reflect his message. And guess what? Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us that if we seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, that all these things will be added. All that paper that you were chasing, all those relationships that you're chasing, God will make sure the right paper gets to you. God will make sure the right relationships get into your life when you seek first the kingdom of God, when you seek first being a reflector of his goodness and his grace and filling you, the world around you, with the awareness of who he is. I was designed to be full of this stuff. And I was designed to be full of it. His presence, his goodness, his power. Don't you want to be full of it in a good way? I want to be full of it. Not junk food, not garbage, not gossip, not the next thing that the world wants me to binge watch. No, I want to be full of God's presence. I want to be full of worship. That's my goal. I believe that should be all of our goal, to get full of that. I don't want to be religious. I just want to be full. I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to sit myself up on a high horse. I just want to be full of God. Can we just be humble and be full? Being a good Christian is not being a judgy. Being a good Christian is about being full. Think about the best person that you look up to that's a Christian. What do you really, really admire about them? That they're full. God. They're full of Jesus. They're full of some attribute of the nature of God. And they're overflowing with that. They're either overflowing with the love, or they're overflowing with the peace, or they're overflowing with charity, a godly charity, godly compassion. They're overflowing with some portion of the nature of God. Maybe they don't have everything, but they are overflowing with some portion of the nature of God, and we admire them, because it's not about being perfect. It's about it being full. It's not about being perfect. It's about being full. Jesus already took care of perfect. You, though, have the ability to take care of full, because you have the ability to change your diet. And every season saying, God, what should my diet be? Is there something that needs to change in my diet so that I can become full? I was designed to bear his image and his light. We were designed to bear his image and light. We fell from that image when man sinned. We were restored to that image when Jesus hung on the cross. And now there's an expectation that we're going to live our lives and bear that image. The image of the goodness of God. The image of the power of God. The image of the purpose of God. When people look at us, they say, oh, that reminds me of Jesus. This is worship. When we say, Hope United, creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship, we're not just talking about when the music's on. I'm talking about when the music fades and all is swept away. And this is me just living my life. Yep, part of it is to music. Part of it's when the music is gone. Part of it's when I get up in the morning. Part of it's when I'm at work. Part of it's when I'm being a dad. Part of it's when I'm being a husband. Part of it's when I'm being a friend. How can I be full of the nature of God? That it overflows in every area of my life. And it applies to every area of my life. Full of worship. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Right? Matthew 7:20, by their fruit you will know them. Bear the image, bear the fruit, shine the light, be a reflection, be full of this. It's not about what the culture is saying. The culture is saying something different every 5 years, every 10 years, and it just gets more and more wicked, right? That's what happens when you don't have God in the middle. It just gets more wicked, right? It gets more perverse, gets more crazy out there. And it says in the last days what people call what's wrong, right, and what's right, wrong. Look it up. It's in Scripture. God already knew it was coming. Man, devoid of God, always goes wicked. God's not in the focus. God's not in the center. There's a company, they're a movie industry or TV, music. If God's not in the center, guess what? It's going to keep on getting more and more wicked, right? Until Scripture already told us what is right, they're going to tell you, man, that's wrong. That's wrong. Christianity's small-minded. Christianity, that's outdated. That's outmoded. People tampered with the Scripture. That's what they say, right? And what's wrong? Killing people, killing babies. Right? Just sleep with whoever you want to. Follow your emotions. Follow your feelings. Follow your passions. That's right. That's right. Do what you feel. That's right. That's the new right. The new right. Don't listen to what this culture says. Get full of heaven's culture. Because you were designed to be a part of a different culture. You were designed to be a king, priest. You were designed to be a son and daughter of the Most High God. Why are you digging around in the garbage anyways? Trying to find your next meal. Trying to sustain yourself with garbage. Dining at McDonald's like it's 5-star. Come on. God has more. God has more. God has more. Fill yourself up with God and the cravings of sin will dissipate. Come on. It's not about religious. It's about getting full. I want to get so full that I'm pushing the plate back on anything the devil's offering. I want to get so full. I'm not saying I've arrived. I'm not standing up here saying I've arrived. I'm saying I want to get so full that I'm pushing the plate back on anything the devil, any temptation, any offer that the devil's given, I'm pushing that. I'm not interested. I'm so full of what I already got right now. Matter of fact, out of my belly is flowing rivers of living water. That's how full I am. I'm overflowing. What's got on me, I'm overflowing. I'm reflecting something that's already... My heart today is that your appetite will change. That you'll get a taste of something in God's presence. And you'll never turn back. That God will wreck you. He will spoil you. He will take you to the Four Seasons. And you will never want to stay at Motel 6 again. I pray that God's presence wrecks you. That you'll never want that junk anymore. Because you get the nourishment of God. The bread of heaven. Jesus is the bread of heaven. And that God would give us such a diet of Jesus, such a diet of the nature of God, and that we become so full that everything else pales in comparison. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray. I want to pray into that. I want to pray into that expectation. God, I pray for each and every person that's sitting here that whatever they need to hear from your presence, that they would hear that. Maybe it was the thing I wanted them to hear. Maybe it's something different, something in your presence, though, that they walk away with something. God, and I pray that you fill their life with you. God, let them get so full of you, God, that their taste changes. God, spoil them with your presence today. That nothing else is as valuable to them as your presence. God, I thank you, God, that you would change all of us from the inside out. Let us become full of you, full of your goodness, full of your power, full of your mercy, full of your love, full of your righteousness, full of your peace, full of your nature. God, we need you more than ever before. This world needs you more than ever before. Every day, I hear another story about things getting more wicked. God, it's your righteousness. It's your Christ. It's your Messiah that's the hope that glory will return. It's Christ reflected in us, alive in us, that is the very hope that society needs. So God, fill us up with you. Fill us up with you. Fill us up with you. Because the more full we are, the more the answer is present. The answers to this world's problems are hidden in the people of God. God, I thank you, Lord, that you reveal in this last days, God, that you would reveal sons and daughters. The earth is groaning. The earth is hungry, and they cannot be satisfied with what the world. The world cannot satisfy the world. The world cannot satisfy the world with more world. It can only be satisfied by God. It can only be satisfied by God. Lord, satisfy us, not just for us, but so that the world can see your goodness. God, touch us. Change us, transform us into who we need to be and into what this world needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.